Welcome, everybody. This is Becky Spieth, and I'm excited that you're here with me today. I know that God has got amazing plans for each and every one of us, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about healing. You know, one of the things that I titled this is Don't Accept the Package and Accept the Healing Instead, is because a lot of times the devil wants to give us some things that we have no business as believers accepting. And when I'm expecting a package, I get pretty excited if I know it's coming from Amazon Prime or FedEx is bringing something. I get pretty excited about that package. But I don't know about you, but occasionally I don't get exactly what I think I've ordered. And then sometimes I'm kind of sad I even took delivery of what I ordered, even though I'm not sure what the other components and portions are. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll talk about this topic. Father God, I thank you so much for today. I thank you that you love us and that you've given us your new mercy every morning. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Father God, we thank you that you're healing and you're protecting and that you are so loving, regardless of all the circumstances we see around us. We know your word is true and it never changes. So, Father God, I thank you that we're here this morning, that we're starting our week with you, that we've had a time to rest overnight and to gain some refreshment, Lord. I just pray that you will just strengthen each one of us because you promise us those words and that we know that we can stand on your promises. We love and we thank you. We ask that you'll bless us as we get into your word today. We understand what you mean for us for this week. We love and thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I received actually a devotional. It's called The Prescription for Healing from Desi. She was so sweet to send that. It's by Mark Brazzi. And I was reading through this the other day, and I just came across this, and I thought, wow, this is a pretty great topic. So this is just one portion, and then the Lord led me on to other things to share with each one of you today. But the title of this one says, Don't Accept the Devil's Package. And it's based off of the scripture, James 4:7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And it says, if the devil's trying to put symptoms on you, you have the authority to get rid of him. According to that James 4:7, right? The reason Christians sometimes have so much trouble getting rid of sickness and disease is that they accept the symptoms to begin with. A little green-eyed monster comes knocking on their door and delivering the package, and they say, oh, let's see. Watery eyes, runny nose, sore throat, headache. Yeah, I do believe I am getting the flu. They take the package, and then suddenly, whoa, wait a minute. I don't want this. But once you've received the package, it's difficult to give it back, right? The FedEx guy never hangs out at my door to see, like, oh, are you good with it? Do you like it? Have you tried it on? Does it fit just okay? No, he just drops it off and runs. Sometimes I get a knock on the door. Sometimes my doorbell rings, but then he's off and running. So when sickness comes knocking on your door, remember, don't accept the package. Say, let's see, watery eyes, runny nose, headache, sore throat. No, 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 I'm not going to take that. Devil, I resist you in the name of Jesus. You won't put that on me. I've been redeemed from poverty, sickness, and death. You won't give me that. In the name of Jesus, you take your symptoms and you get out of here. You have the authority to do that, so take your stand against the enemy. Refuse every package of symptoms that he tries to deliver to your door. And I think that this goes with other things in our life as well, doesn't it? But we're going to be talking about healing because I know that that comes up. And as we head into the fall season, a lot of times people will come to the call, and there just seems to be more symptoms and sickness that people have accepted the package on. But the thing is Jesus wants us to draw our strength from him. He tells us in Philippians 4:13 that we can do all things through him who strengthens us. So if you're feeling weak or maybe just a little under the weather, stand firm on that scripture because Jesus is our strength. I don't know about you, but every time I've had a disease or a sickness try to attach itself to me, it hasn't given me strength. I feel pretty zapped, right? What happens is it draws the strength out of me. But when I turn to the promises of God's word, as I continually seek and keep my eyes on Jesus and I draw my strength from him, the sickness has to leave. I'm not going to submit to the devil and allow him to have one moment of victory in my life. I'm not going to talk about him. I'm going to keep moving because I know what he's trying to do is keep me from living into the fullness that God has for me and my life. In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were bitten by serpents, they had to look, and it says steadfastly, at the brass serpent on the pole in order to be healed in Numbers 21, 8, and 9. That brass serpent was a type of Jesus Christ. It was kind of like a foreshadow. It was kind of like a symbol because when Jesus hung on the cross, he became sin for us, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. So if we fix our gaze on Jesus and we do it steadfastly, we don't take our eyes off of him and what he did for us on the cross at Calvary, then we too can receive our healing. But that means that we have to look at him and not the symptoms. How many times is it easy to say, oh, I woke up with a fever, I'm swollen, I hurt, this bothers me. We want to look at all those symptoms instead of keeping our eyes on Christ. The reason we've had such trouble getting rid of symptoms many times is we've spent too much time looking at them. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That which is seen is temporary or subject to change, right? That which is not seen is eternal or not subject to change. In other words, we say, for we look not at the symptoms, but at the promises of God's word. Because the symptoms are subject to change according to the promises of what he says. So we need to look at what his word says, right? If we're honest, probably all of us would admit that there are times even when we struggle with wrong thoughts and unhealthy emotions. And when we have those wrong thoughts, the unhealthy emotions are created, aren't they? So this can be something for our physical bodies as well as something emotional. Sometimes it can even lead to depression or other serious ongoing conditions that keep us from being emotionally or mentally whole and put together, right? But the power of God's love and his word, they have brought me to total restoration in so many different capacities, and they can do the same for you. So I'm going to give you some scriptures today. I'm going to give you lots and lots of scriptures. Hopefully you've got your pen and pencil and something to write on, because I want you to capture some of these, because what we do know is our circumstances, those are all changeable. Right? Our circumstances are changeable, but the word of God is not. And we combat the enemy with the scripture. So let's look at some scripture. So let's look at this. 1 Peter 5:7. It says, therefore, humble yourselves. Demote, lower yourself in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you, casting the whole of your cares, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all on him, because he cares for you affectionately and he cares about you watchfully. Wow, that's pretty amazing, right? We can put everything on him. Anxieties, worries, concerns, everything. And do it once and for all, which means don't take it back. Psalm 147, verse 3 says, he heals the brokenhearted, which is emotional healing, right? And he binds up their wounds, physical healing, curing their pains and their sorrows. So if you're finding that you've got one of these symptoms, or you've been experiencing one of these things that we talk about, I want you to grab onto whatever verse speaks to you, and I want you to be able to confess that word of God, because that's how we overcome the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We speak truth, and we resist the devil, and he has to flee from us, right? According to James 4:7. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, don't fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance, every circumstance, and in everything, by prayer and petition, which means definite, specific requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants made known to God, and God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of your soul, in your mind, your will, and emotions, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Psalm 42, verse 5 says, "Why are you cast down, O inner self? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall yet praise him, my help and my God." So if you feel downhearted inside, if you are feeling down on the inside, he tells us to do what? He says, have hope in God. Wait expectingly from him. What can we expect? What the Word of God says. Gene and I were talking about that earlier for her dad, Bob. He's expecting something that's been taken from him or not given to him. He's expecting it from God. I know God's going to answer that. We've prayed about it, and he's expecting it from him. He's having his hope in God. This also works for tangible things as well as your physical healing, right? He says, so hope in God, wait expectantly for him, and praise him. Many, many times, the people that we work with in our healing ministry will be praying for them. And then the Lord will lay on my heart that they need to increase their praise. So what's your praise life? Are you praying to the Lord? Are you worshiping? Are you believing? But are you also praising him? Make a list of things that you're grateful for. Make a list of things of just who he is and praise him for it. Give him glory for it. Psalm 30, verse 11 says, "You've turned my mourning into dancing for me. You've put off my sackcloth and you've girded me with gladness." If you need joy in your heart or you need to be filled with more gladness, stand firm on that scripture because God promises he'll do that. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to those who are of a broken heart and saves such that are crushed with sorrow for sin and are humbly and thoroughly penitent." And which it means is you really are sorry. You really are remorseful. You are repentant and turning a different direction. Psalm 119, verse 50 says, "This is my comfort and consolation in my affliction, that your word has revived me and given me life." Oh, I love that verse because it tells us if we need to have more life, if we need to feel refreshed or revived again, all we need to do is get into his word. This is good for emotional or physical healing as well. I'm going to read it one more time because I love that so much. Psalm 119, verse 50. "This is my comfort and consolation in my affliction, that your word has revived me and given me life." Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong, courageous, and firm. Don't fear or be in terror before anyone, for this is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." What a wonderful, wonderful promise. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us the spirit of timidity, of being a coward or craving or cringing and fawning in fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and a calm and well-balanced mind with discipline and self-control." Ephesians 4:23 and 24, "And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature, the regenerated self, created in God's image that's godlike and true righteousness and holiness." So if God's given us a balanced mind, he's given us the ability to be disciplined and self-control. When we start feeling anxious inside, or it's so easy to get caught up in that, isn't it, that we can start thinking about everything that could go wrong, or we start focusing on the things that aren't praiseworthy. We focus on all of those things, and we get stirred up inside, and then we get worked up, and it's so hard to get ourselves back into a state of calm. Rebuke the enemy. Resist him. Stand firm in the word of God. He promises what? That he will revive you with it and give you life with it. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You'll guard you will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. So God promises he will guard you and keep you in perfect and constant peace when you keep both the inclination of your mind and the character of your mind on God. He's going to do it because you've committed yourself to him and you're leaning on him and you hope confidently in him. That means with unwavering faith. Know that you have peace, power, and love, and a calm and well-balanced mind because you trust in God. Don't worry about things. Instead, pray about everything, and God promises that he's going to give you his peace. He promises it. You know, one of the key things to healing and to not accepting the package of the enemy, but accepting the package and the gift that God's given you of healing comes from faith. It tells us many times in Scripture that our faith has made us whole. Jesus didn't say, "My miraculous dispensational healing power has made you whole." Jesus didn't say, "Special gifts of healing or workings of miracles have made you whole." But he says, "Your faith has made you whole," according to Matthew 9:22. You know, one of the primary ways that a believer receives God's healing power is through the faith in God's word. Believers shouldn't require a sign or a wonder to believe in God's healing power. You know, Jesus actually got upset when people required signs and wonders of him to believe in his healing power. He praised people who just received it by faith. So think about it. He tells us that in Matthew 9:22, Mark 5:34, and Luke 8:48, he says, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well," and the woman was made well from that hour. Matthew 9:28-30 says, Jesus said to them, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened. These were serious illnesses or even times of death that he just took their faith. And the faith was what made them well. He tells us in Matthew 9:2, Mark 2:5, and Luke 5:20, "Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic laying on the bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he healed them." So it goes on and on in the word to show us time after time. Luke 17:18-19 says, Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out and all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Oh, Rabbi, that I may receive the gift of sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. That was found in Mark 10:52 and Luke 18:42. The thing is God wants us to look at our faith. So let me ask you, are you strong in your faith? It tells us in the Word, Psalm 118:17, "I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord." Psalm 102:19 says, "To loose those that are appointed to death." God doesn't want you to die. Death was not part of his plan. He comes to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. If God was the Lord that heals you in the old covenant, how much more is God our healer in the new covenant, established on better promises through Jesus Christ, right? And if forgiveness of sin and physical healing were benefits in the old covenant, how much more are they benefits in the new covenant, which has Jesus Christ, the guarantor, the guy that's come, and he's guaranteeing it for us. Our surety of this better covenant, right? Paul declares that Jesus is the image of the invisible God and the image of God. Paul's saying if you've seen Jesus, then you've seen the invisible God. If Jesus is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of God's nature, what does the scripture say Jesus was doing through the Gospels, right? He was teaching in their synagogues. He was preaching in the gospel and What else was he doing? This is one of the things that got him riled up the most. He was healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. We see that in Matthew 4:23. Now, some people only want to know the Jesus that was teaching and preaching, but not the healing, right? But a large portion of Jesus' earthly ministry was healing every sickness and every disease among the people, even things that the doctors couldn't heal for years and years and years. Jesus was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Let's look at Jesus. He's the image of the invisible God, right? And you will know that God is willing and able to heal you today because the scripture states that Satan, the thief, does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says that I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly, according to John 10:10. Jesus redeemed us from the curse, from the law, by becoming a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who has hung on a tree. We have been redeemed from the power of darkness through the blood of Jesus. Your physical healing is a part of Jesus' redemptive work at Calvary. A believer must receive what Jesus has already provided. He took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. With his stripes, I am healed. According to Isaiah 53:5, a believer is not a sick person trying to talk God into a healing miracle, right? The believer is a healed person refusing to be sick. Now, I want you to get that. This is huge. A believer is not a sick person trying to talk God into a healing miracle. That's not where we are. That's not what the covenant says. That's not what the word says. The word says we are believers as a healed person and that we need to refuse to be sick. If you were healed by Jesus' stripes, then you are healed now, according to 1 Peter 2:24. Jesus has already taken your infirmities and he's already carried away your disease. He did that on Calvary. Believers refuse to take or carry what Jesus has already done, and that's heartbreaking. Tells us in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. He tells us in Jeremiah 33:3 to call on him and he will answer us. He's going to show us the great and mighty things which you do not know. Faith is a fight. So keep your confidence in God's word and fight the good fight of faith. Jesus praised people who received by faith because faith pleases God, doesn't it? Most faith failures are not caused by the lack of faith, because we're told we've all been given a measure of faith, but it's caused by doubt and unbelief. Now, I know this is pretty strong meat here. I hope that you're chewing with me, all right? But I want you to know that you've already got enough faith. Don't let doubt and unbelief creep in. Luke 1:38 says, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Jesus also said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Overhearing but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Only keep on believing. Mark 5:45. Jesus says that it only takes a mustard seed amount of faith or confidence in the word of God to do the impossible. Matthew 17:9. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. Mark 9:23. Mark 9:24 says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That should be our prayer today. Help my unbelief. After he, which is Abraham, had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Hebrews 6:15. Galatians 6:9 says, so don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for he will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. So don't get tired of doing what's good. Don't get discouraged. Romans 8:34 says, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Romans 8:34. Hebrews 7:25 says, Jesus is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Luke 22:31-32 says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, converted, strengthen your brothers. Proverbs 24:10 and Jeremiah 12:5 say, if you fail under pressure, your strength is not very great. We're told in Ephesians 6 to take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. Hebrews 10:35-36 says, therefore do not cast away your confidence or your faith, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Jesus is seated in heaven, far above all the principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named. Jesus has a name which is above every name, even the name of cancer or HIV or autoimmune or whatever is plaguing you. That's Philippians 2:9-11. All things have been put under Jesus' feet. That includes sickness, disease, poverty, oppression, and evil. A believer recognizes that Jesus is the healer and the devil is the oppressor. Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world and destroy the works of the devil. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things, which includes our healing? I hope that you're blessed today by the word of God. Let's go to him in prayer. Father God, we ask forgiveness for our unbelief. Lord, we ask that you would help our faith and our confidence in your word to rise up. Thank you that you've given us your word, that we can stand strong on those scriptures. Lord, that we can stand on the word, we can resist the devil, and he must flee in Jesus' name. Lord, we praise you for Gene's business and how great things are going there, Lord. We glorify you and we just honor you. Lord, we lift Uncle Frank up to you. We thank you for his miracle. I pray that his faith will rise up today, that he will not accept the package that's been given to him. Lord, we just pray that you will give him peace as he's working through with the issues with the rehab facility, that you will give Bob and Frank a great time of fellowship together as they come together and they meet up, Lord. And Lord, I pray for Crystal's marriage. Lord, we just call forth reconciliation and restoration in her marriage now in Jesus' name. Lord, we rebuke the enemy of divorce and division, and we thank you that unity is here in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just praise you for provision and what you are providing for Gloriella in her life and in her business. And Lord, we ask for bookings and sales. And Lord, we've been believing for a car. Help her to stand in unwavering faith. Help her not to doubt and stand firm on your word that you promised to deliver these things to her. Father, we thank you. We love you and we praise you. I pray a blessing upon each person here that's within the sound of my voice, that they would be blessed as they come in and as they go out. Lord, that your face would shine upon them and that you would give them abundance, that you would give them peace, that you would give them more than enough provision so that they can share with others. And Lord, that you would help them to stand in that unwavering faith. We love and thank you. We glorify you and we praise you for all that you've done. Help us to stand in that completed work of the cross. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll be with you again next week. Take care now. Bye.